Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. This is a Throw Out the Fascist Thursday edition, Dom. The President of the United States, Joe Biden, giving a speech in primetime tonight. And then we're hosting the President on Monday at Labor Fest, Summerfest grounds in Milwaukee. We will broadcast it live, whatever time that may be. White House, feel free to drop those details anytime for us.
Give them the deets, baby.
We're expecting a midday broadcast. We will play the president's speech live in Milwaukee on Monday. I'm guessing about 1:22 Central Time. I'm just guessing, though. I have no idea. They haven't told us anything. Except he's coming to Milwaukee, and he's going to be at Labor Fest. As will we. Dom, the president, Joe Biden, on Thursday, will warn in a primetime speech that MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. And he makes the case that the Make America Great Again movement, led by the former president, poses a danger to the nation. MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards, backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love. Biden is poised to say in Philadelphia, according to the advanced excerpts released by the White House. The White House has billed Biden's speech as one about the soul of the nation, Dom, and the threats facing American democracy. Sort of a high bar, you know, a battle for the soul of the nation. President Joe Biden, don't blow the speech. Don't blow the speech. I hope he does
AP
well.
AP also reporting a little bit of what Biden's going to say. Quote, for a long time, we've reassured ourselves that American democracy is guaranteed, but it is not. We have to defend it, protect it, stand up for it, each and every one of us.
And also, if you care, for all you conservatives, you know, MAGA semi-fascist, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is giving a pre-buttle in Scranton.
Oh, that'll be great.
Hours before Biden to criticize his record in recent comments. Actually, Joe Biden's kind of on a roll. Quinn PX got Joe Biden up 9 points today. 9 points in like a month since July. Now it's from 31 to 40.
Woohoo!
Well, but that's still heading in the right direction.
I mean, 9 points from 31 to 40 is bigger than 9 points from, you know, 90 to 99.
I think you'd take 90 to 99. Let's get to the phones. Love it when you call us at 844-967-2789. Are you going to watch the big speech? Dom, are you? Thursday could be a drinking night, yeah, going into a three-day holiday weekend.
This is Labor Day weekend. Harley-Davidson Museum down here in Milwaukee. They have a big rally going on for days. I got some friends coming to town. I'll meet some other friends out. Yeah, so I'm going to be out and about. I'm not clear that I'll actually watch it live, but certainly I'll at least read the transcripts.
Oh, good. Good for you. Good for you. Such a dedicated political pundit you are.
You gonna watch it live?
Oh, yeah. You know I will.
Oh, that's right.
I care about my job. Sick,
so what else are you going to do?
I'm in forced quarantine in the other wing in the house, so I can watch whatever I want this week.
Dominic!
844. If you don't know that joke, you're not going to. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Dick in Madison. You watching Joe Biden's speech tonight, Dick?
Hey, Dick.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy holiday. One of my favorite holidays.
Labor Day.
My grandfather was one of the founding fathers of Ironworkers Local 383.
Nice.
Way back. Paul early in the show said, you know, these people have no credibility in this party anymore. And I totally agree with Lisco. They don't. But the thing is, they wear that as a badge of honor now. That's, I mean, come on. They love it. It everything about it, they embrace it. So I brought this up to Matt early in the week, and it kind of scares me about the upcoming election. We're about the same amount of time out right now from the election as we were when Biden was elected until January 6th happened. I think these guys, with all the chatter that's out there, they see how close these elections are getting and how they're falling behind in a lot of Senate races. They've got some nasty stuff that they're going to throw out there on Election Day.
Such as, Dick, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, what's the October surprise?
I think that, you know, they're going to intimidate people at the polling places. They're going to it's going to be a free-for-all. And we need a turnout, we all know this, to hold the House and the Senate like you would have in a presidential year. And I'm just scared that they see now the handwriting's on the wall, that it's not their form in the Senate anymore. I think we could pick up two seats in the Senate. I really do, maybe three. But when you get to the House, you have to take into account all these gerrymandered states. They know that too. And if they can tamp down turnout, they'll do it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dick. No doubt they will. Cook Political Report moves 5 congressional races towards the Democratic column today. So hopefully that's encouraging. And I think 3 senatorial pickups, Dick, that could be an underestimate. I think we could get 4 or 5. Hmm. You got to hold Kelly. You got to hold Arizona against Masters. You got Pennsylvania. That's Fetterman. That's 1. You got Tim Ryan against J.D. Vance in Ohio. That's 2. I'm putting Mandela Barnes down for a pickup. That would be 3. And I had at least 1 more in mind. I'll have to come back to it.
844-967-2789.
Damn it. Short-term memory loss.
You think on that one, Crudy. Let's get back to it. Mark from the SAC, welcome. What do you got for us today?
Hey, Mark.
I think you're thinking Warnock and Walker, because I think Warnock's going to be
perhaps, yeah. I mean, Warnock is won the special in 2020 and is back on the ballot, not serving the traditional 6-year term. I forget if he replaced Loeffler or Perdue, but yeah, that might be the race. I think he's up big on currently he's up big, and I know that Masters is up big on, flip that. Kelly is currently up on Masters.
Yeah, and this constitutional sheriff guy down in Racine County, I'd be a little bit nervous about going through Racine County if this guy recognizes who you are. You wonder if this guy's going to...
Well, man, I drive a devil wagon. Everybody recognizes when Crudy's on the road.
Never take me alive, copper.
I got spotted in Toma over the course of the summer. Like it was getting back to me. I know where you are.
And but what gets me is that I've kind of read through the Constitution a few times and read the federal, you know, read kind of scrims through the Federalist Papers. I don't see any place where there's this constitutional authority of the sheriffs, that they're the high and mighty sheriffs of all the United States counties that are more powerful than the president. I think that just he needs to get.
Don't you recall the sheriff of Nottingham? He had lots of power, right? Don't be poaching his deer.
Yeah, that's what that's how far back they have to go. And of course, we don't live in unmerry old England, and we don't serve the mad Prince John or Guy of Gisborne and have Maid Marian up in the tower to do what we want to with her. But these guys apparently are just delusional. I mean that, and I'd probably say it to the guy's face. I'd say this constitutional sheriff's idea you got, I'd say you're delusional, pal.
Well, and they're all about, you know, their power and their point of view, Mark, and thanks for the call, man. And that's the authoritarianism in them. I mean, they can't possibly handle someone like Mark, you know, you questioning their authority. Respect my authority, as Cartman would say, right? I mean, that's in them, man. I don't know what that is. Why don't you just let people be what people are? Why do you got to, like, come out and try to be somehow prove your worth or your value based on your job and as you interpret the Constitution?
You know, I believe Alito did quote the Sheriff of Nottingham v. Made Marion case in his abortion ruling, did he not?
he may have. So, but the jackassery market seems to be catching up with some of these folks, as we mentioned earlier in the last segment. Harry Waite, this is the Racine County, Wisconsin guy who filed and got a
go to jail
fraudulent ballots.
Do not pass go.
So he's been charged now. And this other one out there, and I'll throw this out there, 844-967-2789, Washington Post reporting, a former New York City police officer, and Marine Corps veteran who swung a flagpole at police before tackling one officer and yanking his gas mask off during the Capitol riot on January 6th. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison Thursday, the longest sentence handed down so far among the more than 860 people charged in the insurrection. Thomas Webster, 56, of Goshen, New York, was the first riot defendant facing the felony charge of assaulting an officer to try his luck with a jury. We'll see how that worked out. 12 others have pleaded guilty to a similar charge. Webster took the witness stand at his trial and testified he was acting in self-defense, saying a D.C. police officer had instigated the fight. Video showed Webster yelling at police at the lower west plaza of the Capitol as officers struggled to maintain a perimeter outside the building. The officer, Noah Rathbun, then pushed Walker in the face. Rathbun testified that his hand slipped off of Webster's shoulder before Webster swung and smashed a Marine Corps flagpole on a bike rack and then tackled Rathbun, the police officer. Webster pulled off the officer's mask, causing him to begin choking on the tear gas. The jury took 3 hours, just 3 hours, before finding Webster guilty in May of the assault and four other felony charges.
I'm sorry, what was the charge? Aggravated tourism?
It was, right. That's just a fine tourist. They stayed within the velvet ropes, right? I mean, 860. And the news is out. They're still making arrests today. They're still picking up people.
Oath Keeper's lawyer was arrested today for his own participation in the January 6th. I mean, that's ballsy as an attorney to go out there and represent a guy on January 6th charges when you are also guilty of being a participant in the very same insurrection. I'm just saying, ballsy.
Hey, 10 years. Apparently, according to the Raw story, this gentleman, Thomas Webster, he sobbed in court today. You can cry into your mattress for the next 10 years.
There's no crying in coups
or in prison.
Come back. We'll talk about more of the GOP fascism. A little preview to Joe Biden's speech tonight.
Warning. Listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always be a part of this fine program. Just give us a call at 844-967-2789.
But do not excessively retweet us during the show because I get the, they push to my screen and then I get very distracted. The ADHD kicks in. Tanya Lynn has done a lot of retweeting during that break.
It's an iPhone. Turn off your notifications. You'll be fine.
I'll turn your notifications off.
Give the phone to your kid. He'll do it for you.
Yeah, I'll get to that. I was doing something else, and then, a lot of retweets popping up, and I'm like, are those important retweets? Here's one I saw a little bit earlier from our audience, an important retweet of sorts, or comment at least. I saw the former president, Donald Trump, made the representation earlier today. He's been, supporting financially some of the January 6th, I almost called them terrorists, that would be accurate, but insurrectionists. But only the good ones, the right kind of ones. And he doesn't really define how he's helping them or, whatever, but he's leaving the implication that it must be financial, right? He's paying their lawyer's fees. And I believe it was Lisa Joe that tweeted, "This is the guy that was stealing from a kid's cancer charity. You want me to believe that he is paying the legal fees? The RNC is paying his freaking legal fees. So that was a good flag, Lisa Joe.
To, not anymore, not as it pertains to the secret documents and that whole kerfluffle. They, apparently the RNC is not paying those legal fees. I mean, Matt,
Man's got a lot of legal fees.
All right, we're going to pay for this legal fee, but now we're not going to pay for that legal fee. I mean,
why are they paying for any of the legal fees?
Why? Well, because he holds them hostage, probably because of some of those documents he had in his possession in the drawer, you know, holding something over the Republican's head. I don't know. Why would you, right? Why would you pay the legal fees for this human being?
I got to think in the desk drawer at Mar-a-Lago where Trump had some top secret documents, some whatever. You know he's got the file on Lindsey Graham. Otherwise, I can't explain it.
You brought it up, so let me just throw this out there from the Raw story. David Baddish, the new civil rights movement. Trump revealed Thursday, as Kurti mentioned, he's meeting with and financially supporting January 6th insurrectionist defendants while he floated pardons for them in remarks he made to a far right wing Wendy Bell radio streaming podcast. I met with a number of fans, but I met with and I'm financially supporting people that are incredible. Of course, incredible. Trump said, referring to those who he said are being charged with crimes related to January 6th insurrection, while mentioning that contributions should be made. And they were in my office, actually 2 days ago. It's very much on my mind. It's a disgrace what they've done to them, what they've done to these people. It's disgraceful. And mostly, I mean, you know, it's firemen, they're policemen. There are people in the military. There are people that were, you know, you look at what took place with the police and they're ushering them in and so many different things. You know, Trump's so very specific. Trump went on to bash radical leftists who he called sick and said there's something wrong with them and nobody's ever seen anything like this. He's a big no one's ever seen anything like this kind of guy. He can pretty much end any paragraph with that with Trump. He also called federal prosecutors the most cold-hearted people, saying they don't care about families, they don't care about anything, they just, and you see what they're doing with the sentencing. I will tell you, I'm looking at it very carefully. I've studied it. I study cases and contributions should be made. We have to do that because, you know, they have some good lawyers, but even the good lawyers, you get some of these judges and they're so nasty and so angry, mean, the sentences. I will tell you, I will look very, very favorably about full pardons. If I decide to run and if I win, I will be looking very, very strongly at pardons, full pardons. I think that's probably going to be the best because even if they go for the 2 months or 6 months, you know, they have sentences that go a lot longer than that, but we'll be looking very, very seriously at full pardons because we can't let that happen here. I mean, full pardons with an apology to many.
One guy got 10 years today, Trump. Right. One guy, and there's some that are significantly more violent. And not that, you know, clubbing a cop with a flagpole is not pretty violent, but there are some that are more violent than that. Extremely. So Trump's going to win re-election, pardon everybody, right. You know, but first you got to vote for me, right? Because really what he's trying to do is convince some of these yahoos to vote for the man, pardoning it for you. Because otherwise, wouldn't a lot of these people be ineligible to vote, you know, by virtue of their new felony convictions? Right, dude. At least in Florida.
And this guy, Thomas Webster, who got the 10 years, and this is now, you know, of course, as Kurti mentioned, the longest sentence given out so far. I would hope and imagine
it would
be more.
So far.
But according to the Post, a federal sentencing guideline sets a range of punishment of 210 to 262 months or 17.5 to 21.8 years in jail. Prosecutors recommended 17 years. The government's recommendation was still on the low end of the range. Even as they argued Webster was convicted of spearheading the breach of police line in the Lower West Plaza and for disgracing the democracy that he once fought honorably to protect and serve. So he got 10. The prosecutors asked for 17. He could have got up to 21.8 years for this act. So 10 is actually a break.
Drew from Lake Mills, welcome to the show. What do you got for us, Drew?
Hey, Drew.
Hey, Devils. Hey, Devils. How you doing?
Good.
Good. All right. So here's why I'm cautiously optimistic about the midterm elections, right? If you look at the polling numbers, Republicans are going to vote for Republicans, and that's what they're going to do, right? We're going to vote for Democrats. But I think what we really have to pay attention to is all the numbers that are coming in from the independents who are starting to figure out that the GOP has absolutely, like, lost their minds, right?
You find fascism distasteful, Drew?
I mean, but you think about it, these independents, right? They don't swing far to the left. They don't swing far to the right. And, you know, you have this whole, I mean, it's a large voting block of people, right, who say, you know, I'm just kind of in the middle. I'll vote for who I like. And I just see them going, this is too much. We can't do this.
I hope so. From your lips to God's ears, Drew.
Right?
Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. We ain't done yet. Plenty of show left. Your contribution could be next at 844-967-2789. Dom, I'd also like to enumerate some of the fascistic tendencies of the GOP. Again, a preview of the president's speech a little bit later tonight in prime time. I know you'll miss it. I'll bring the transcripts to school tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, man.
Right away.
This is the worst day of my life.
The worst day of your life so far.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Throw the Fascist Out Thursday edition, the happier happy hour rolling through it. Not taking you all the way to Joe Biden's speech, but he will speak, the president, in prime time. And my understanding, Dom, he's going there to kick ass and take names. Joe Biden, I like this new, more forceful Joe Biden.
Yes,
calling out the
fascist. He's bubblegum and kick ass, and he's all out of bubblegum.
Well, he's supposed to come to Wisconsin on Monday, and I would look forward to some details from the White House, because we're anticipating broadcasting that live right here on this fine radio network. Dom, quick couple of headlines, and then back to the phone. Said 844-967-2789. That weight character, the voter fraud guy.
Dude, 78? He's 78 years old. I mean, I just heard the news at the bottom of the hour there. He guy's 78 years old, man. What are you doing? Any sentence is a death sentence for that cat.
A DWI sentence could be what?
Well,
life in prison.
Man. First
he's got 60 days.
Pass, but after the second or the third or the 10th, then it might be a death sentence.
Well, it's not even a criminal offense on the first one.
Right, give me a gimme. It's a gimme.
So anyways, those joining us later just hopping in the car. Wait, apparently a 78-year-old Racine County man who had, requested the ballots of Robin Foss and Corey Mason. He was charged today. Couple of felonies, couple of misdemeanors. Voter fraud are the misdemeanors. The fraudulently using someone else's identity is a felony with an imprisonment of up to 6 years per charge. I hope he gets them concurrently, Dom. A little bit more than that, Dominic. This, only because we used to be in the industry. The Wisconsin Realtors Association have something of a history of endorsing loser candidates, actually Republican losers who often win the elections in this case. Here is their history. The WRA, the Wisconsin Realtors.
All right.
And I used to be in good standing member for like a decade. They endorsed Wanker, Scott Walker. God, I hate that guy. 2010. 2012, 2014, 2018. So they're very wanker-centric, if you know what I'm saying. And Mike Theo, and I used to do a lot of business with Mike's wife, Cheryl. Wonderful professional. Mike, a little bit scared, never came on the show. I've invited Mike Theo on this show just to understand why it is that the realtors weigh into political races in almost every year. But this year, after interviewing both candidates, both Tim Michaels and Governor Tony Evers, the realtors have decided to endorse none of the above. No endorsement offered by the WRA. That's going to be a blow to the Michaels campaign.
Right.
They're not going to get the grandiose super PAC money from the realtors because they used to take our money every year. You pay your MLS, you pay your super PAC, so they could turn around and give like $1 million. The Scotty Wanker used to call me. Michaels ain't getting the endorsement money. Michaels did not get the endorsement of the realtors, a notoriously Republican organization. That's got a sting. I mean, I thought he was a big builder construction guy himself.
Well, that is, it's super interesting. I mean, why all of a sudden now? What is it about the political climate now that the Wisconsin Realtors Association decides to
couple of issues? Path? They specifically said that Governor Tony Evers had done whatever the realtors wanted them to do, something about navigable waterways and allowing people to put piers in them and some other things. So anyways, Evers apparently checked a couple of the boxes that the Realtors Association liked. So, you know, they're single issue voters, apparently, Dom. And, you know, since Tony had two pluses, they just said, well, we can't endorse a Democrat, so no endorsement offered. Right? That was their strategic decision. Mike Thiel. I got his wife's number, but, you know, Cheryl wasn't really political, very professional. 844-967. Say hi to him if you see him on the street. Mike, Cheryl, how you been? Let's get to the phones. Joe from Madison, how you been?
Oh, I'm just fine, just swell, and looking forward to a deep dive into the fascism that's creeping into our country. I think it's a good topic to look at. So I am curious to get a little bit more information. In the last hour, you talked about Ron Johnson apparently starting an electoral committee to look at election irregularities. Is that correct?
That was news to me. That was reported in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Okay. Well, wouldn't the first place he'd start to look would be his own little self, as you consider what he did with trying to hand off fake electors?
That was seconds.
Wouldn't that be the very first?
I hardly got any blood on my hand. It was just for a couple of seconds.
Oh, my God. I mean, look in the mirror, buddy. Look in the mirror. You know, the vote of the people of the state of Wisconsin and Michigan gets, you know, pitched aside because he wants Pence to blow us off.
You know that Ron Johnson can't look in a mirror. White walkers don't cast a reflection.
He can't see himself.
Yeah, right. Well, I would say, that it's quite obvious the first place to look is himself. But I just, when I thought about the nerve of having an 80-person election committee, and boy, they really have come up with a lot of evidence, haven't they?
That's the thing. You want to spin your wheels, knock yourself out. I mean, there's always a small percentage, right? A super, 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 super small percentage. Guys like Harry Waite, for example. But there are, you know, the news is about 20-some people out of 3 million votes cast, convicted or charged with some sort of voter fraud or irregularities. And good as well, they should be, Joe. But again, if you vote, right? You're active. You go down to the ward.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe there's 1,000 or 2,000, depends on the size of total voters. Hell, sometimes there's only a couple of hundred that people that walk through there. And there's, at least in my area, Joe, 3 or 4 people at the desk, are the 3 or 4 people behind. Usually they're much older than me, and I'm not a young man anymore. These are the ones that you're throwing the election? I mean, tell me how, 1,875 different municipalities are going to come together to do this when you have Republicans and Dems and independents looking over everybody's shoulders, knowing, especially during the pandemic and now going forward with the scrutiny, that should perhaps justifiably, sure, if you're concerned, then volunteer, go be a part of it instead of just bitching about it on the side and hiring and volunteering 80 people. Well, at least if they're doing that, they're probably not doing something else more nefarious.
Except for you, Kathy Nicholas. You stay out of it.
Good one. Thanks, guys.
Take care, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
I want to do a little preview of the president's speech by enumerating some of the recent, most fascistic actions of our modern GOP. An opinion piece, Paul Waldman at the Washington Post, I sourced. In Michigan, one of the most brazen GOP attacks on democracy yet, there's a fundamental idea at the heart of democracy, a bargain we all tactically agree to. We hold elections, one side wins, that side tries, usually with only partial success, to implement its favored policies. The other side, now in opposition, does its best to convince people that we ought to reverse course. After a while, the public gets to weigh in again, either keeping the ruling power, party in power, or giving the opposition a chance. That's the way it used to be. Quaint times, Dom.
It was so fun back then. It was a simpler time.
But Dom, like children crying, no fair. every time they lose at a game, the Republican Party has decided that any outcome democracy produces that it does not like, an election won by a Democrat, a policy decision made by a Democratic administration, is illegitimate by definition. And with each passing week, it's coming up with new and sometimes shocking ways to reject this foundational bargain. In Michigan, as in many states, the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade has pushed the issue of abortion rights to the top of the political agenda. Abortion rights advocates have collected 730,000 signatures, far more than necessary for a ballot initiative that would guarantee abortion rights. But in Michigan, initiatives must be certified by the state board, the state's board of state canvassers. It has two Democrats, and wait for it, Dom, and two Republicans. And if they deadlock, the initiative won't appear on the ballot. Guess what the Republicans on the right. board did, Dom? Well, that's just what happened. When the two Republicans refused to certify the abortion initiative, were the signatures invalid? Question mark. Did they violate one of the rules regarding petitions, which include limits on font size and word count? No. The Republicans struck it from the ballot because of word spacing, of course, Tom. Not enough spacing between the words. Specifically, wow. In the printed petition, the words were strung together without spaces. For example, decisions about all matters relating to pregnancy. Well, that's all run together, not properly spaced.
Not one space between those words.
Now, these Republicans didn't argue that Michiganders saw that and said, whoa, what does that say? I'd better just sign this. They just said it's a mistake, and any sort of mistake on a petition means the whole thing should be nullified. Sorry, liberals. To be clear, wrangling over petition signatures is common, but disputes usually center on whether a candidate or an initiative has gathered enough legitimate signatures. Right, Kanye? If an initiative has ever been rejected because of word spacing, no one seems to be aware of it.
Right.
And Dom, the matter will now be decided by the Michigan Supreme Court. It has a 4-3 Democratic majority, so this deranged decision is likely to be reversed. But here's what's equally disturbing. How many of you read that and were three Republicans on the state Supreme Court and assumed they'd go along with the rejection of the initiative, no matter how absurd the rationale? Because that's where we are today. That's where we are today, Dom.
Curdy, meanwhile, in Alaska, Democrat Mary Peltola just won a special election for the state's only U.S. House seat. The election was run under a new ranked choice voting system approved by Alaskans in the 2020 ballot measure. Voters list their choices in order, and if no candidate gets 50% or more in the first round, candidates at the bottom are eliminated and the people's second choice votes are allocated to the remaining candidates. It can be a little hard to understand at first, but there's no evidence of widespread confusion in Alaska or people saying they mistakenly voted for the wrong person. What ranked choice voting can do, however, is create opportunities for candidates with cross-partisan appeal, which is just what Peltola seems to be. She got the most votes in a three-way race with Republican Sarah Palin and Nick Begich III. She won because half of those who supported the last place Begich either listed Peltola as their second choice or decided not to list any second choice. The reason is obvious. A significant number of Alaskans, perhaps the kind who keep re-electing moderate Senator Lisa Murkowski, don't like Palin. But as far as many Republicans are concerned, if a system chosen by Alaskans doesn't produce a Republican victory, it means it's a scam. As Senator Tom Cotton tweeted after the results were announced, ranked choice voting is a scam to rig elections. This is now the standard GOP response. If we lost, it was rigged. Just wait until someone tells Cotton about the Electoral College, a scheme that allows a candidate who won fewer votes than their opponent to become the president of the United States. Don't tell them. It doesn't stop with elections. The default Republican response to legislation passed by a Democratic Congress or a policy decision made by a Democratic president is now to file lawsuits seeking to have the courts, which have been stacked with partisan Republican hacks, to strike them down. Republicans are already preparing lawsuits against President Biden's decision to forgive some student loans in the hope that the right judges and ultimately the Supreme Court will find some ridiculous excuse to quash it. We're headed for chaotic elections in 2020. 2024 as GOP election saboteurs attempt to ensure that no matter what the voters say, Republicans will be declared the winner in every race. The leader of the GOP cult, Donald Trump, is even demanding that he be declared the rightful winner in 2020 and reinstalled in the White House. We have to refocus on that fundamental Democratic bargain and focus and force Republicans to say clearly whether they will hold to it. Because if democracy means that sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, if you can't accept that, you've pronounced yourself an enemy of the American system, writes Paul Waldman. And you probably, if you're, you know, of that ilk, you're probably a little semi-fascistic.
Are you sure it's fascistic? Could be semi-flaccid. It could be that problem.
Maybe it's both. That's why they're fascistic.
Come back with us. One last segment for your phone calls. Join us now at 844-967-2789. Don't forget, President Biden sticking it to the semi-fascist later tonight in prime time.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 844-967-2789. Crudy, some corrections on my part. Apparently, Harry Waite from Wisconsin Union Grove, we've been charged with 2 counts of election fraud, 2 counts of unauthorized use of an individual's personal identifying information in connection with his requesting absentee ballots for 2 other individuals, is 68 years old, not 78. So he could maybe, you know, get a couple. If he got the 2 6-year sentences, he could probably wait that one out. Also, breaking on MSNBC Chiron, the January 6th committee, well, they're going to apparently get back together. They're getting the band back together, and they're seeking information from former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. What?
Newt was in there stirring the pot? Let me ask you, my understanding is former White House counsel Pat Cipollone and Philbin, not Regis, yes, but the Pat Philbin, also
Pat and Pat, yep.
Pat and Pat. Who are they testifying? Is that January J6 committee testimony?
No, they testify. Former White House counsels testify tomorrow to a grand jury, not to the J6 committee. They've already done that.
Is that the Fulton County grand jury down in Georgia?
I didn't see a specificity on it. Let me look it up.
Well, there's probably some secret grand juries that have been convened, but the only current grand jury I'm aware of is the Fulton County grand jury.
Well, no, the DOJ's got several grand juries, or at least 2 other grand juries opened right now. According to ABC News, they're a federal grand jury probing January 6th. So this is the grand jury that's looking into the January 6th insurrection.
Well, that's a significant ratcheting up, Dom. If the White House counsel is now giving testimony to the Department of Justice, what, they're not the committee, but the actual Department of Justice, that means they're doing probably criminal investigations at the highest levels of the former government. Yes. That'd be my thought, you know, but what do I know? I'm a layman.
Yes, no question. So, yeah, this is specifically the Department of Justice, I guess, a grand jury impaneled to look at, investigate the events surrounding January 6th. And this is both Trump's White House counsel and deputy Philbin and Cipollone testifying tomorrow. Now, Crudy, I know that's the one, right? This is the insurrection. This is the coup plot. This is what you believe is the
crime against
right
democracy. Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, BFD. All this, special security, top secret documents at Mar-a-Lago. But now it looks like, you know, this continues to go on. And the J6 will start meeting, I believe, next month again.
Well, next month is now. We're in September, Dom.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Next month is now.
Soon.
But we got a Labor Day weekend. And we got one more show and, you know, time for a few more callers. But real quick, the Arizona GOP chair says that thousands will be implicated if the J6 committee looks at her phone.
You can't do that.
Then I absolutely want to see her phone. Dominic, the chairwoman of the Arizona Republican Party, argued that thousands could be implicated if a federal judge does not quash a subpoena from the House Select Committee investigating the J6 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Here is the quote to the Tucson Star. Kelly Ward, attorney for Alexandria Kolodin, K-O-L-O-D-I-N, Kolodin. That will inevitably lead to the questioning of and further subpoenas issued to the thousands of Republicans in contact with the plaintiffs. Thousands of implicated co-conspirators. The U.S. House of Representatives General Counsel Douglas Letter noted the Department of Justice was not seeking the content of conversations, just the metadata. Just want to know the metadata. There could be no greater interest than investigating the first attempt to obstruct the peaceful transfer of power of its kind in our nation's history. It's unprecedented, investigating a former president, Tom.
Yeah, nothing like this has ever happened before.
Ward, who was an alternative Arizona elector.
No, that's an alternative.
Is that like a fraudulent Trump elector? Ward, who was an alternative Arizona elector with her husband, Mark, was subpoenaed by the Select Committee in February.
No, I just want to be clear, Curdy. I don't mean to interrupt, but when we say the alternative, this was, if I recall from some of the testimony and evidence presented to the January 6th committee, this was bantered back and forth amongst those who were, you know, attempting to do this coup. And they decided on the term alternative because it sounds better. So I think we should stick to what their original was. Wasn't it false?
Fraudulent.
I mean, we say criminal. It sounds like it's almost legitimate.
Dominic, this Ward again, who is apparently in, you know, a little bit of trouble because if you look at her phone, thousands will be implicated. The subpoena cited a July 2021 report by Arizona 12 news correspondent Bram Resnick. Apparently, the article quoted Kelly Ward as texting the Maricopa County Board, then Chairman Clint Hickman. Here is the contents of the text message. We need you to stop the counting. We need you to stop the counting. As in, like, don't count the votes because we're afraid Joe Biden might win. The subpoena said Ward apparently spoke with former President Trump and members of his staff about the election certification issues in Arizona. There were no issues. They didn't like the outcome. In addition, after the election, you sent out messages suggesting the November 2020 election had been stolen, posted a video advancing unsubstantiated theories of election interference by Dominion voting systems, along with a link to a donation page to benefit the Arizona Republican Party. Because there's always a little grifting going on to boot down.
No, I mean, you got to ask for the money or they're never going to give it to you.
The Select Committee wrote, and interesting, very same date that the criminal fraudulent Trump electors here in the state of Wisconsin, on December 14, 2020, you apparently acted as a purported Electoral College elector to meet and ultimately transmit to Congress a set of alternative Electoral College votes, which you describe as representing the legal voters of Arizona. And after former President Trump and others encouraged Vice President Mike Pence and members of Congress to prevent or delay the certification of the Electoral College votes during the joint session of Congress. They're kind of wordy, sort of a long sentence here, J6 committee, if you could break it down for dumb guys. And during the attack on the United States Capitol, you wrote on Twitter, Congress is adjourned. Send the elector choice back to the legislatures. We would like to better understand these and other statements, events that you witnessed or in which you participated, and communications we believe you may have had with national, state, and local officials about the outcome of the November 2020 election. Well, Dom, Jenny Thomas, she had a few communications as well. That's where we started the day. Supreme Court Justice's wife pressuring Wisconsin lawmakers. Only two of them actually responded to the open records request. They probably all got the same pressure, the same email from Jenny Thomas. We know Wade, the fraudulent elector that sought the absentee ballots, he's been charged with felonies here in the state of Wisconsin. We know the incumbent GOP Senator Ron Johnson not only hired and staffed a fraudulent criminal fake Trump elector, but also, what was his latest? Oh, it's always terrible with Rojo.
Hit Robin Voss. Wisconsin GOP is in disarray.
Great way to end the show. Listen for Joe Biden tonight.